All right. Good morning, church. How are we doing this morning? Yeah, y'all enjoy worship, I hope. As Kevin said, my name is Dakota Rubel. I am with our student ministry here at our Fremont campus. Been here for about 2.5 months now, so it's been nice. Crazily moved from Florida, right? Can I get an amen on that? Moved from Florida. You know, it's been odd this week. I've been looking at the weather. It's been colder in Florida than it has been in Ohio. It's been really odd. But, so yeah, I moved from Florida, originally from Oklahoma, a little town called Dewey, Oklahoma. Grew up there my whole life, went to school for ministry, specifically for student ministry at Oklahoma Baptist University. Got a four-year degree there. It was awesome. Enjoyed my time there. But now, new chapter of my wife, Micaiah, and I's life, and our daughter, Athalia, here at Fremont, Ohio, serving in Grace Community Church. Couldn't be happier so far with the love that y'all have shown me and my wife, and especially our daughter. It's been awesome to see. But enough about me. Time to get into what really matters this morning, and that is the Word of God. So we're going to continue our series in Matthew today. So Matthew chapter 25. We're in our meetings, and Kevin looks at us youth guys and goes, hey, we're going to have y'all up there on a Sunday morning. What do y'all think about that? And we're like, okay, yeah, sounds great. All right, so let's do it in the Matthew series. Okay, Matthew chapter 25. Yeah, we can do that. The talents, the virgins, easy stuff. No. Nuh-uh. Y'all got the sheeps and goats prophecy today. So yeah, that's what we're in today. We got the sheeps and the goats prophecy. Very kind of confusing. It can be confusing. Book right here and part of this chapter, and Jesus kind of shifts directions, right? So he tells these stories about the 10 virgins. He tells the story about the talents and things like that. So how to act while we wait kind of thing. And now he shifts his perspective, shifts his narrative into, hey, we're getting into prophecy now. So this is what we're going to focus on today, Matthew chapter 25, 31 through 46 is what we're going to be in today. If you have your Bibles, open there a little bit. But before we get into that, I have a question. How many of you are like absolutely terrible, nervous test takers like I am? Like you just get absolutely sweaty. Like it's just awful, awful test taking skills right here. You're not alone if you raise your hand, but I was like that. I was a terrible test taker. Luckily, when I went to school, we didn't do tests. We just wrote everything. So it was a big writing school, but terrible test taker, got sweaty, got nervous, things like that. The ultimate dream of mine was to have a teacher come up to me, especially in college, and be like, hey, I got you, no worries. Here's the answers to your test. All right, awesome. Right, absolute dream. Never happened, unfortunately. But we still made it, but never happened. But this is something that Jesus is kind of doing here. He lays it out for us. Hey, this is what's going to happen in the future. This is how you should act as well. And we're going to see this prophecy. Yes, it's prophecy, so we have to look at it in a certain lens. But Jesus also uses this to kind of teach about how we should be acting today, too. We can read it like that. So yes, prophecy, but also, all right, if they should act like this in the time of tribulation, is what we're going to be looking at, then probably we should be acting like this now. All right, so we're going to look at that today, and we're going to see that, and it should change our perspective a little bit, should change our hearts a little bit, and he uses these sheeps and these goats. So Pastor Kevin last week laid our foundation for this chapter, laid our foundation and did a good job at that. And we went through some prophecies. He took us through Matthew 24 and showed us how it is what to expect regarding the end times, and then started Matthew 25 and kind of shifts gears and says, all right, this is how you should act while you wait. And now we're shifting gears again to, hey, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen today. And this is how he closes Matthew 25. He's looking past the superficial gear. So Kevin last week talked about one of his biggest fears being a pastor, and that being that his children grow up in church, learning the church things, putting the church clothes on, looking the part, but then they fail to actually have a change of heart. Biggest fear. And this is what Jesus is gonna get at today. This is what he's gonna look at. He's gonna look past that superficial gear and that the outward church clothing that we have and really look at the nature of the heart. Really look inside. So as we get into this today, Matthew chapter 25, verse 31, be looking at that. Be looking at that. And we'll get to this other lens that we have to look through in a little bit. So Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 through 33 says this, "But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him and he will separate them from one another. As a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left." I'm gonna pray for us this morning before we get started and dive in even more. Lord, we just thank you so much for this morning. And Lord, I pray that you will not only calm my nerves, but just speak through me. Lord, eliminate Dakota from the equation. I'm just a vessel that's being used to glorify your name. Lord, I pray that you will speak through me, speak to the ones that are out here. Whatever you have to lay on their heart this morning, I pray that you will speak to them. In your name we pray, amen. So we see how Jesus opens this part of this chapter. Verse 31, it says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne." Right, so this is like this big picture moment. This big picture moment, Jesus comes back, sitting on a throne, all the angels with him. Pretty cool moment, right? We see that. But notice that Jesus shifts, right? It was stories. It was stories, the talents, the parables of the virgins. It was these stories. But now Jesus doesn't say, well, the kingdom of God is like the virgins. The kingdom of God is like a man traveling down a road. He doesn't say that anymore. He says, this is what's going to happen. He doesn't stay with the stories. He says, when the Son of Man comes. Guaranteed. So I got 3 points that we're going to go through today. Number one is the certainty of the king's return. Jesus right here, guaranteeing. No more stories. I'm done with stories. I'm saying the king is coming back to sit on his throne. And when he does, with the angels, certain things will happen after that. No more stories. No more of this. This is prophecy, absolute prophecy. And then now we have to address the kind of the elephant in the room, the prophetic elephant in the room for a second, because we have to get our timeline straight here. We have to understand when this is happening and how this happens. So Pastor Kevin has been talking about the Daniel prophecy, Daniel's prophecy for the end times. And through this few weeks, he's mapped out this mystery timeline of the church age. This gap that we're in right now, we don't know how long it's gonna be. It's been quite a while. But this gap right now that we are in, but this text, this specific text takes us past that, right? So church is raptured, then tribulation happens. So it takes us past the rapture. It takes us past the tribulation into this judgment that takes place after the tribulation when Jesus returns to earth and establishes his millennial kingdom. So this is kind of when this happens. This is what he is talking about. And think about who's standing in this crowd, right? Think about who's standing in front of him. The church has already been raptured. The people standing before the throne are the survivors of the tribulation. All right, so we understand that. Survivors of the tribulation. Church raptured, tribulation happens, survivors stand before Jesus on the throne. And then he separates them. He separates those sheep and the goats. Separates them into two categories. This is the judgment that takes place. It's separate from what we would call the white throne judgment or the judgment for the believers as well. Separate from those. This is who is in this crowd. This is the time that it takes place. So end times timeline. Jesus uses this, but he also uses it in a different way. We talked about that a little bit before. He doesn't just use it to say, this is how you should be during the tribulation, because I'm not going to be there, right? We're going to be raptured. We're going to be gone. So this doesn't have anything to do with me, right? Well, no, we have to look at this in context of our lives as well. We have to look at what happens with these people and how they treat people to understand why this matters to us. Jesus is a genius teacher. He teaches not only this, but also to us today. He uses prophecy to teach things about present day ethical obedience on this world. He kind of pulls back the curtain on future judgment. Yeah, he does. But now we get to get into the meat of this text. Yes, he is coming back, but what now? Yes, he's coming back, but what now? So we look at what happens in the throne, right? He says, all the nations will be gathered before him. And then he will separate the sheep on the right, the goats on the left. So this scale is massive. Nobody gets to skip. Nobody gets to hire a fancy lawyer to get out of it, to go in for him. You don't get to do that. You can't skip this test. They have to go. And then we have to understand why he uses this specific analogy, the sheep and goats. So sheep and goats, we understand what sheep are, white fluffy animals. Goats, smaller, kind of short-haired animals. At the time, that's not exactly how they were. So sheep and goats looked a lot more alike in this time and in kind of Palestinian time than they do now. Sheep had dark wool, kind of a little bit shorter haired wool, and they looked, especially from a distance, a lot like a goat. Sheep, goats looked a lot alike. Even though they looked a lot alike, they were very different. So a shepherd would have to separate them, especially at night, because goats, wool, kept them warm. I mean, sheep's wool kept them warm. Goats, short hair, could not keep them warm at night. They were very different from each other. And they understood this at this time because that's what they did. That was the practice that they did. They separated them out at night. But despite hanging out together, we have to understand that they were vastly, completely different from each other. Despite them being together in the day, they got separated because they were very, very different from each other. So they lived in the same place, just like us. We live in the same neighborhoods. We live in the same neighborhoods. We work in the exact same companies. Kids, you attend the exact same schools as everybody else. You sit in the same row as people at church. You worship and sing the same songs. You nod your head at the exact same points during the sermons and say amen. You drink the same coffee in the lobby, or you bring it in here and you drink it as you hear the word. From the outside to the human eye, sheep and goats look the same. People in church look the same. People in our world look the same. We look the same. We wear the church clothes. But the thing about a goat, you can give it its best pep talk that you can. You can teach it how to baa, But no matter what, that goat is a goat is a goat. No matter what, that goat physically cannot produce wool. Why? Because it's a goat and not a sheep. You can bring that goat to church every single day. No matter what, that goat is still a goat and not a sheep. The shepherd does not look at the outward appearance. God does not look on your outward appearance. God looks at your heart. Sheep produce wool not because they have to. Sheep produce wool because they're a sheep, and that's what sheep do. Sheep don't have to work to produce the wool. The shepherd looks at who you truly are. The shepherd sees the sheep as they truly are. And he puts the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. The king is coming. We don't know when, we don't know the exact time, but he is coming. The church will be raptured. Are you ready? Today. So he separates them out, separates them into two categories. What happens next? Let's read this next passage. Matthew chapter 25, continuing verse 34, it says, "Then the king will say to those on his right," so the sheep, "come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see a stranger you as a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" Verse 40, the king answered and says to them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you do it, that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me." So this brings us to the core of our final exam. Brings us to our final exam here. And it brings us right to the answer, right? So the king is coming. We know that. The king is coming. And he says, "Come, you who are blessed." So the king returns and says to the sheep, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom that is prepared for you from the foundations of the world." And then look at the reason he gave. So he gave a few reasons. "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I was naked, you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." But if you read this too fast, you miss the gospel message in what Jesus is saying as well. People look at this passage and say, "All right, I have to do all these things. I have to do these things, and then I will get to heaven. I have to do these things, and that will make me a good person so I can get to heaven." That's not what Jesus is saying here. We have to look at the immediate blindsided response that the sheep give. Verse 37, then the righteous answers him, "Lord, when did we see you? When did we see you do all these things? When did we see you hungry and feed you? When did we see you thirsty and give you something to drink?" The sheep are in absolute shock from what he said. From what the king said, the sheep are in absolute shock. They weren't keeping score. They were not tallying up each individual thing that they did. They weren't keeping score on a scoreboard. Ultimately, they didn't even realize what they were doing. They had no idea. They were surprised. Why? Because their actions weren't a business transaction between them and God. Their actions were not a business attraction between them and God. Their actions were a natural overflow of who they were. Their natural overflow was to do these things because they were changed by God. The sheep don't act a certain way to become sheep. The sheep are sheep because that's how they are. That's how they were made. The sheep are always sheep. So think about this livestock again. Sheep produce wool because it is in their biological nature to do so. Sheep produce wool because that is just how they do it. They don't stand around this field grunting and saying, oh, I gotta get this wool out for this shepherd. No, they just do it naturally because that's who they are. The wool grows naturally because the sheep is a sheep inside and out. A goat is not a goat inside and out. And again, you can't give a goat a motivational speech to produce wool and then it happen. You can't just put a wool coat on it and then it becomes a sheep. It's still a goat. It can't produce what isn't in its nature. True salvation isn't just showing up to church and looking the part. True salvation isn't coming in here, sitting in a seat, nodding your head because the preacher says something that tickled your ear. True salvation and following God is showing up and then doing what the Bible says to do. That's true salvation. Sheep are sheep because that's their nature. A Christian is a Christian because their change in their heart should show fruit of salvation. Fruit of salvation isn't just coming in here and sitting in a seat. Fruit of salvation is doing the things that are laid out in this passage. So let's tie this back to this post-rapture context, because we have to do that as well, because that's what Jesus is talking about. Let's tie this back to that. So the least of these brothers, who are the least of these brothers? A lot of times the least of these brothers are kind of disciples, the people that are on this world that Jesus sends out to go do God's work, the people that show Christ in the world. The least of these brothers, who knows, it could be the 144,000 that are set up during this tribulation time to go and serve and preach the gospel. And then these people that are blessed because of that are those that might be following, clothing them, feeding them, helping them, sheltering them in a world that is so broken that you cannot proclaim the name of Jesus anymore. But these people do it because they know it is right, because Jesus has asked them to. If somebody feeds somebody that is a messenger of God, you are blessed, it says. Following Jesus at that time will be a certain death sentence. You don't follow Jesus at the time, but if you do that for those people, you are saying, I am following Christ with my whole heart. Doesn't matter what may come. I am following Christ with my whole heart. And this principle carries back even to today. When you realize that Jesus found you when you were hungry, when you were thirsty, when you were naked, when you were in prison, when you were enslaved by your sin, it changes how you view people around you. You stop seeing messy, broken people as annoying and inconvenient because you were a messy and broken person before Christ. You start seeing the broken through the eyes of the King. But you can't just do good things to get on a good side of the King. Because good works does not get you anywhere without salvation first. So doing charity, doing things for people is a lot like a man getting a nice new lawnmower and going to mow his grass, but he has turf and concrete in his yard. It makes a lot of noise. It does a lot of sound. It looks cool, but ultimately it does absolutely nothing. The heart has to capture the gospel first. Once you have a heart for the gospel, once you have a heart for Jesus, you should naturally grow wool. You should naturally show the love of Christ to people. So number one, we have the certainty of the King's return. The King is coming back for sure. Number two, we have the evidence of true faith. What is your evidence? Are you just coming in here and sitting in a seat to do the church thing? Or are you actually having evidence of your faith? And then number three is the deception of the outward appearance. The deception of the outward appearance. So continuing verse 41, says this, then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accused ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they themselves also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these. You did not do it for me. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So this brings us to the final but very heavy part of this passage. So Jesus closes with this divide here. This divide, and you see that the goats have all the right answers. Jesus states the exact same thing, and then the goats say, Well, Lord, right? They know who he is. Lord, right? We know you're Lord, but when did we see you? When did we see you? When did we see you hungry? When did we see you thirsty? When did we see you in prison? They had the right vocabulary. They said all the right things. They knew the correct title. They had outward religious association with God. But they are completely shocked to find themselves standing on the wrong side of the throne. They thought they were doing the right things. They thought they were coming into the right places, sitting in the right chair, doing the right things, looking the part. When in reality, the King sees their heart, not just their outward appearance. And then the King responds, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Their fruit did not show that they were a follower of Christ. Their fruit did not show that they had a heart for the gospel. And in verse 36, a verse that even us, right, we're not going to be in this judgment, but we are going to be judged. Even us should look at this, and it should make us pause. And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Church, each one of our lives has a very short clock. Both the punishment and the glory, both the punishment and the eternal life use the same word, eternal, meaning it's forever. There's no redo. There's no going back to that test you were so nervous about and saying, I need to redo it because I didn't get the answers right. The test is submitted. Once your time on earth is done, your test is submitted. God has given you the answers. Should be the easiest test that you ever take. But are you gonna read the answers and say, I need to do that? Or are you gonna read the answers and say, I'm gonna do what I want. I'm gonna look the part. I'm gonna look good. You can't redo the test. It's eternal. Heaven is eternal. Hell, eternal. There's no second chance. Every single day, God places people in your life that need the gospel. Every single day, it might be a coworker who sits at lunch every day lonely and waiting for somebody to come and listen to them. It might be a neighbor who stands out on the street waiting because they just need some help. It might be a family member who you see every single Christmas that needs the gospel, but you are too scared to go and talk to them because you don't know how that will affect family relationships. Judgment is coming. There is a final exam. This final exam isn't going to be how well did you know theology that day? How well do you know the end times? Who's the Antichrist? The final exam is this. Does the King know your name? And are you representing the King in a way that you should? The answer is there. The answer is here. And maybe it's as simple as this. We have families coming into this church every single day that need Jesus. We have families coming into our kids ministry and our Fuse ministry that need Jesus. It can be as simple as, hey, I want to help in Grace Kids. Hey, I want to help in Fuse. What are you doing to show that you are a follower of Christ? And will the King be able to say, you did it. Your heart was right. You fed the least of these. You clothed those that needed clothing. You helped those in need. Or did you come in here you sit every single Sunday in the same seat, drinking the same coffee, nodding your head at a certain point of the service because everybody else nodded their head. Sheep produce wool because that is in their nature. People that have given their life to Christ produce good fruit because that is in their nature. What is your life producing today? What is your life producing? The flock is not going to stay mixed forever. Judgment is coming. There will be a separation. Hell is eternal, heaven's eternal. Some of you might be sitting in here today and say, I don't even know what he's talking about. I don't know how to produce the right fruit because my heart's not even right in the first place. It's time for you to come to a knowledge of a saving, grace-filled God that loves you. That loves you enough to send his son to die on the cross. Yeah, some of these passages are confusing. But ultimately, they point back to a Savior that loves you and that cares about you and that doesn't want you to be a goat. He doesn't want you to be on his left side. He loves you enough to extend that grace to you so you can live in eternal righteousness with him. But now that's up to you to decide which side you're going to be on. And then don't just come in here and sit in church and do all the church things. Show your fruit of your salvation to those around you. Let's pray. Lord, again, we just thank you so much for being able to come into your house and worship you and hear your word, Lord. What a blessing that is, and we see it around the world that persecution happens. But Lord, we live in this country that we are free as of right now to come into your house and worship you. And then also we're free to tell the world about you. But some of us don't even do that. Lord, I pray that as we continue our days that we will stop doing the things that look good on the outside, but actually have a change in our heart. Do the things that you are calling us to do. Feed those that are hungry. Not only just food, but feed them the gospel. Lord, that's why we're here. So we can show people the love that you have for us. Lord, I pray that if there is anybody in here that does not know you today, I pray that they will come to a knowledge that you love them, that they're a sinner, and that you died on a cross for them, and that they can't do anything about their sin, but you did already. Lord, we love you and we thank you for each and every blessing you give us each and every day, even though we do not deserve them. Lord, as we close this service today, I pray that we will worship you as we leave here and continue that act of worship as we go. In your name we pray.